Good evening. I felt the shaking on my shoulder. There's a weight on me now to preach. Isn't it a privilege? No pressure ever, because the Word of God does what it says, isn't it? Amazing. When we preach the Word, it does what it says. And so I wanted to just encourage all of you. I know that Tim welcomed us from North and so on, but I want to say I feel like God's saying you're significant. And I've often prayed from the city looking to the south and just praying for you and for what you're doing. And I want to say thank you. Many of you in the room, I know Andy, you guys have been serving Jesus for a long, long time. And we appreciate what you're doing for the King and His kingdom. You need to work your part. We work our part, but we're part of a great, great project. As it says in Nehemiah, we cannot afford to take our eyes off what God has called us to do. Now more than ever, the world is looking not just at what we say, but how we respond during this time. And it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for those who follow Jesus to reflect Him to the world. So Tyron has asked us as the team to make sure that we help all of us to be more effective during this time. Not just do more or work harder or try harder, but be effective. And so the message I feel in my heart for us tonight is that we need to continue to lead with faith. And that might sound simple, but I think for us to be effective during this time, we need God's power to work through us. And as I lean into God, there's something of His power that works through me to do what He's called me to do. You might have faith, but not understand that you're leading. You might be leading and not be leaning into faith and trusting God for His power. And so let's get right into it. Can I pray? Lord, I really ask You that I would say nothing except what You want to say. These equipped times, Lord, is not about the preachers. It's not about the worship leaders. It's not about the songs or the media. It's about Jesus Christ, Your time with Your people. And more than what I can express in words and more than what I can say, there is a deposit of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us when we gather in the name of Jesus. And tonight I pray, Lord, every single follower of Jesus, would You put courage into our hearts, as we've heard already. Put faith in our hearts that during this time, Lord, You can use us to lead and to lead with faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." The NIV says that everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now you've got to understand what it's trying to say is not if you try really hard. If it's stating a fact that if you're born again, there is some part of us that no matter what the world throws at us, that cannot be overcome or defeated by virtue of our identity. See that? And so it's not saying, you know, if you try hard enough. It also doesn't say that we're not going to face what everyone else is facing, but it's saying to us that there is a part of us that God has put in us that the world and nothing that we can see in this world can actually destroy or diminish or make it go away. And Peter also says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And so not only is there an inheritance guaranteed, but through faith, we are kept for our inheritance. And so we have this victory through our faith in who God is and what He has said. And if I read my Old Testament, I realize that God's people go through different seasons. You know, there's seasons when God's people have to come out of something that they were in for 400 years. But I see that God is always using human leaders to take them out. You think of Moses. There's seasons where God takes His people through things. You know, they didn't go the easy route. They went into the wilderness first. And there's things that God wants to give us in the difficult times. They come out with the written word of God, the presence of God, and aligning their lives around the presence of God from the wilderness. But God uses Joshua and Moses in taking people through. The season of going into something, God uses Caleb and Joshua. The season of expanding and extending the kingdom, God uses David. But it seems that every single season, there are some impossibilities. Every season, no matter what season, there's always something that seems completely impossible. When they're coming out, it's this military power that's just undefeatable. When they're going through stuff, it's the logistics of feeding 2 million plus people with no pick and pay or checkers. You know, it didn't get burnt down. It's just nothing in the wilderness. When it's going in, there's this freak race of giants. It just always seems to be impossible. And it doesn't seem like God minds that, because God calls us as we follow Him to lean into Him and His power so that something can be released and the victory comes and the breakthrough comes and eventually people walk into what God calls them. Sometimes the impossibilities are the people around us. The kinds of people around us. I just want to say, you know, I had an opportunity to preach in Toti a couple of weeks back. And as we were preaching, horses came riding past. It's an amazing place. Never seen that, but anyway. This is just Mansum, Texas, they say. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to top that, but I was impressed. I was just looking, but there's no windows. But sometimes it's time. A lack of breakthrough. Sometimes it's resources. Sometimes it's the circumstances. But following Jesus doesn't mean that we won't face impossibilities. Now, I know that you've probably heard lots about faith, but I feel during this time, faith is being challenged and faith is also being very confused during this time. And so I've really been asking God, help me to help us to understand how to continue to lead with faith in you so that we can be effective during this time. I'm not just talking about faith in faith. I'm talking about faith in the character of God and faith in what God has said. Faith is not wishing. I can't expect God to do something He didn't say He would do. So we know without faith it's impossible to please God. And often I think we have that great definition that faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. But I don't always understand that. God has to help me with some of these things. So I say, well, Lord, help me in this. What does it look like to lead with faith? What does it look like? How do I know if I'm leading with faith? And God took me to the scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, because I think often we think character is opposite to faith, and faith is somehow all these miracles and all that, but it kind of character holds it back. But faith and character go together. Faith in God should change your character. And you see in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, just look at that scripture. You see, sometimes I can be lazy when God's waiting for me to do something. That's character. But sometimes I'm impatient and I'm doing something that God's supposed to be doing, and I'm running ahead of God, and that's also not faith. But faith is, I'm not lazy and I'm not impatient. I'm right where God wants me to, but I'm leaning into God, and God's power is what's making me effective even when the situation is impossible. And so character, a faith has character to it. So we get to say, okay, God, it's very clear here that your instruction is that I should imitate people that have already walked into that which you've promised. And so I began to think about some. And I thought about Caleb in the Old Testament. And I think today we've been under some form of lockdown for 553 days. And we've lost about 8,700 people during this lockdown. And Toti is an amazing place with horses that come to church and all that. But this guy was locked down for 40 years in a wilderness. And no interprovincial travel, because if you move outside the cloud, there's kind of like scorpions and snakes and no water and stuff like that. For 40 years, and during that lockdown, you can go and check it up, 601,000, listen properly, 730 people died. I'm just saying, I'm pretty good with stats, like 6,001. No, I'm serious here. Listen to this, 601,730 males died during that lockdown. Out of 601,732, which means that 0.00332% survived that lockdown. And during that lockdown, there was a man called Caleb who I know walked in what God had promised because he continued to lead with faith. And God calls me and you to imitate them. And I don't think God is calling me to imitate, to do what Caleb did. There's something of his character that God instructs me to imitate. Is that all right? I don't think God is calling me to go to the harbor and say with my staff, because I'm going to stop the shipping, and we already got a shipping crisis. I'm just saying. It's not that we're going to do exactly what they did, but there's something of their faith that God calls me and instructs me to imitate. And so faith has character to it. I can't just claim to be a leader who has faith, but you look at my character and the way that I lead, and you can't, it's not evident. So let's look at Caleb then. The first thing I notice in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, you can read it there in some of these names. Like I say, I'm a simple guy, but I won't attempt to say all of them. But the Lord said to Moses, send some of the men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Can you say leaders? And so the Lord's command, Moses sent them out of the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And then Numbers 13, verse 6 says, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So one thing I know about Caleb was that he was a leader, and he was the leader of a tribe called Judah, and Judah we know means praise from Genesis 29:35, which means that if you're going to lead a tribe who is known for praise, then you need to lead a life of praise. That's not picking the songs for Sunday, choosing what we're going to sing. I'm talking about leading a life of praise, like Psalm 84, verse 4, that said, blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they are ever praising you. When they're under pressure and when they're in a crisis, what comes out is always, God is bigger than what I see. Why? It's not because you're just a positive person. It's because you're a praiser. If you're a praiser, then the environment doesn't change you. You end up changing the environment. And we see this is very clear. This is very clear when the whole nation faces a crisis. They get to the promised land, and everybody, there's some fake news going around. I don't know if they had stone tablets or how they were spreading it, but someone was saying, we can't go, we are like grasshoppers, I don't know. And everybody was believing it. And everyone was saying, no, God can never do what he said he would do. This is ridiculous. What's wrong with you? We can't go in. We can't do it. We can't. And out of the mouth of Caleb, under pressure, as a praiser, in Numbers 13, verse 30, comes, he silences the people before Moses, and he says, we should surely go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now, he's not, yes, we can. He's not the guy from Waterboy. We can do it. You know that guy. Anyway, if you don't know that movie, you don't watch it. I don't know where that came from. I apologize. I really apologize. Let's just move on. Because I've lost a whole lot of people right now. But it says the Lord If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land. Only don't rebel against the Lord. This is all, they don't have it, but it's in Numbers 14. Don't be afraid of the people. We'll swallow them up. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. It's just positive, 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 positive. Why? Even when, and at this stage, can I just tell you, out of 2 million plus people, there's one other guy backing Caleb. One. And no matter what's going on around him, the way he leads his life is, my view of God is bigger than what it looks like here. And so, you know, these guys, I know the other guys made them afraid. You know the story. And at that point, they could have walked into a different season, but it doesn't happen. And we read this in Numbers chapter 14. God steps into the situation and God says, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. Not one of them that's treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'll bring him into the land he went into and his descendants will inherit it. And here's one of the most shocking verses of the Bible for me personally. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out towards the desert along the route to the Red Sea. You're going back to the Red Sea, this time in reverse. And by the way, Caleb, will you continue to lead the tribe of Judah, whom none of them will ever walk into what I promised? So right there, something changed. He was about to walk into a season of leading that would be absolutely glorious, and now there is a season where God says to him, can you turn around? Can you go back? And will you take the tribe with you that you're leading? And will you continue to lead them for another 40 years? And you know what he does? He follows the Lord wholeheartedly. Because faith, the character of faith is not only that we are praisers, but the character of faith is that we follow Jesus wholeheartedly, no matter what everyone else is doing. Thank God for the trends. Thank God for the data. Thank God for the experts. But can we follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Because that's faith. He walks with that tribe 45 years, and we'll tell you why it's 45 and not just 40. 45 years later, we catch up with the story. Remember, we are told, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. So I'm saying, Lord, teach me and help me. If I've got faith and I'm leading with faith, how does it impact my character? Well, number one, I need to be a praiser all the time so that my view of God is bigger than what's ahead of me, even in a time of crisis. But secondly, Lord, I need to follow you wholeheartedly, even if you tell me to turn around and follow the very people that is messing up a few things for me. Joshua 14 verse 6. Let's read this and we pick out a couple of things. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses the man of God at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. Can we just pause there? Who is with Caleb? No. Read verse 6. Sorry. I mean, you get another chance. phone a friend or 50-50. What does it say? The men of Judah approach. I want you to remember, there's a whole tribe behind Caleb because he's led them now for 45 years. The closest to his age is 40 years younger than him, right? And Caleb is not saying to Joshua, give me what God promised. It's the men of Judah standing behind him that he's led for the last 45 years, standing right there with him. They've never seen the land. They've never walked in the land, but he's led them in a way that they say, give us what God's promised us. Are you there? And it's amazing what he says here to Joshua, because he says, you know what the Lord said about you and about me. Sometimes as leaders, we forget what God said about us 2 years ago. Never mind what God said to someone else 45 years ago. And even the young guys are, you know what he said. They didn't hear it, but they're like, you know what he said. Because the way he led them, it's like they were there. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive these 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old, !10,000 steps. I don't know how it does that while I'm preaching. Anyway, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I'll drive them out just as he said. We don't read how Caleb led those 45 years, but this gives us a glimpse. Number one, he was a man of convictions. And in 45 years, his convictions about what God had said and who God is didn't change. It's not things he heard other people talk about. It's not things his parents told him. It's not like he just heard Moses. He was in the presence of God, and he was absolutely convinced. 2 Timothy 3:14, as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of. Can I ask you to please get convinced about what God has promised with regards to his church, with regards to the gospel, with regards to his inheritance, with regards to what he will do. See, the next thing I see, this has really helped me to see what it looks like to lead with faith. He loves and invests in other people. You know, in this scripture we've just read, he says, and my brothers, I have a couple of other words for them. You oaks, you messed up my beautiful season I was about to step into. I was about to lead the next 40 years in the promised land, and now I've had to lead you for 40 years. But he says, my brothers, and he loves them. You know, every day he would probably bury some of those, and some he would know because they're in his tribe. And some he would have been friends with, they would have grown up, and he would bury them, knowing none of them would walk into what God had promised. And he led them, and he loved them, and he called them his brothers. And then there was a whole new generation. Some of them he did their dedications. Brand new. Born in the wilderness. And he started investing again. From zero. I'd love to say we've had thousands saved over the last while. We haven't. We had about six. But the point is not how many get born again. The point is how many can we disciple and lead with faith so that they walk into what it is that God has promised all of us, because we're all part of a bigger picture, which is the kingdom of God. And then you know why it took them 45 years to come to Joshua's, because the first 5 years, he's actually helping the other tribes walk into their inheritance. It's because faith expresses itself through love. That's what the scriptures say. It's impossible. You see, I never understood this. I thought great faith is just like don't need manners. No, faith expresses itself through love, man. You can't have faith without love. You can't say you have faith if you don't invest in people, even those who you don't like. Even those who you feel are messy. God expects. Do you know how much Jesus loves people? It's only people he died for. The only thing he ever died for was people, even one.
Let's lead with faith. I love this guy, Caleb, also because he's always acknowledging God. You know, he would wake up in the morning, I'm imagining, for 45 years. He wakes up and he praises God. He just praises God for who he is. He praises God for his character and his nature, his beauty, his glory, his grace, his splendor. He's so kind. We sang it tonight. He's just so good. He's so good. Then he looks around and he says, I'm in this wilderness. Why? Because I'm following the Lord wholeheartedly. And then he says to himself, you know, but I'm convinced about what God has promised. And then he says, how am I going to invest in people today? And I love invest in people. And at the end of the day, maybe he buried a few more. He would say, you know what? I'm still breathing because he kept me alive, which means there's a purpose for my life. And so he acknowledges God in his life. Not this arrogant, proud. I mean, I know Steve referred to that as well. We're breathing his air. We're living on his creation. Let's acknowledge him. And then this part in verse 11. I'm as strong today as I was when Moses. Now, let me tell you what I don't think Caleb was doing. Like, give me an S-T-R-O-N-G. We are strong. I don't think he was cheerleading. I don't think so. See, for 40 years, he would get up in the wilderness where there's no enemies. And he'd take his weapons and he would start a train. And these young guys would watch him and say, what are you doing? Because we don't see any enemies. And he'd be wielding his weapons. He'll be doing his training and he'd be exercising. And they say, what are you doing? Well, I'm convinced that I'm alive because God's keeping me alive. And I have a conviction about what God has promised and I know he's faithful to do what he said. So I'm keeping myself spiritually fit for what God has called me to. And every day, some of those young guys came behind him. It's like Kung Fu Panda, right? Please keep the spiritual basics. Let's just do them well. I'm amazed, you know, in the beginning with this whole virus thing in the 21st century, the very basics of washing your hands, doing those simple basics was all we had to fight this thing off, proven to work. In our Christianity, like Chris said, let's do the basics well. Just do the basics well. Let's keep spiritually fit. Do you know that God could have chosen Caleb, right? And he chose Joshua. Caleb and Joshua, both of them, they did nothing to have to go back. And God chose Joshua. What I love about Caleb is that he insists on nothing more than what God promised. In verse 12, give me what the Lord promised, you know what the Lord said. Now, sometimes you might think, like, if you've served the Lord for 45 years and you did, you know, you were, you get a gold watch or a gala in your name or something in honor or a pat on the back or a praise or maybe you think, like, okay, you know what? Because he says, you know what? That city is going to be as hard this time as it was then. Maybe some of you young guys take that, and I can take something easier. It's called entitlement. None of that from this guy. When you lead by faith, it's not about entitlement because it's about the king and his kingdom. Your inheritance and my inheritance together becomes his inheritance, and that's what it's about. It's not really about me and my thing. And so he says, just give me what God promised me. That's all. Nothing less, nothing more. And he still says, you know, with the Lord helping me, I'll drive them out, just as he said. His view of God is still this big. I think this is amazing. 45 years of leading by faith, walking into the inheritance. Can we imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what God had promised? And then, of course, the last few, and I'm almost done. I don't know about the other tribes. I haven't read. But one thing that Caleb wants is the blessing of the leaders that God has put over him. he actually goes to Joshua and he says to him, will you bless me? Even though God told me, Caleb doesn't go out and say, the Lord said, this is mine and I'm ready for it. And forget the rest of Israel. No, 5 years, I'm going to help you guys. I'm going to lead the young ones. I'm going to lead the old ones. And then I'm going to say, give me what God has promised me. I'm not going to allow that to diminish. So let's go. But he goes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, will you, I need your blessing to go into what God has promised me. And in chapter 14, verse 13, Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Now, this is very interesting. Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jehonah, the Kenizzites, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, which was the greatest man of the Anakites. And then the land had rest from war. This is a beautiful picture. Hebron, the tallest of the tall, the guy who was born on a long weekend. The tallest of the tallest of the strongest guys lives in Hebron. And Joshua blesses him and says, you can have Hebron. Do you know that that one of the greatest kings in Israel was first anointed in Hebron? And that was David. And so if Caleb didn't take Hebron, the king wouldn't be able to be anointed in Hebron, which means that somehow your inheritance and my inheritance prepares the ground for the king and his kingdom to come. So I'm not fighting for my ministry. Honestly, I'm not. I'm done with that. It's too small. I'm done fighting only for my local church. I want what God's promised so that the king can come, even in the places where we see the tallest of the tall, of the, you get it. Do you know what I mean? There's some places you just think, God, can you do anything here? Some people you just think, oh, Lord, can you? And God says, you know what? If that's part of your inheritance, I want you to take it. Take it. Why? Because the king in his kingdom can come there. So my encouragement to you guys down here in the south, honestly, not work harder, do everything. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in your local churches. Thank you for leading local churches, planting local churches. Can we please keep doing that? But can we lead with faith? Can we follow the king and his kingdom? Can we be convinced about what it is that God has promised us? Not what we want, but what he's promised us. Can we follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Can we invest in people? Can we acknowledge that it's God that keeps us alive and not take glory for things that he gives us? And can we seek first the kingdom and follow the leadership that God has put over us? So Caleb was able to follow Moses and follow Joshua, and still he understood that the leaders God puts over us, there's a blessing in following them. It's part of the kingdom. Amen.